Now we come to chapter 5, and here in chapter 5, we find it return again to this stranger woman. And this chapter, I think, should be read very carefully by the young man, because he's counseled here to live a pure life for the sake of his home. And this is the kind of sex education that God gives. I don't know about you, but I like it a little bit better. Some of the things that I'm hearing today, even in Christian circles, God is saying a pure life should be led for the sake of the home later on. And a lot of the problem in the home didn't begin there. It began way back in the sex life of the individual. Now, will you notice here, listen to him. My son, and here he is talking to the young man again, attend unto my wisdom, and bow thine heart to mine understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion, and that thy lips may keep knowledge. Now, what he's saying here is, it's wisdom now, bidding this young man to come to her school, that he might learn something. And then he goes on to say here, for the lips of a strange woman drop as a honeycomb. Now, the evil man in the last chapter, here it is the strange woman. That stranger woman was the one that came in from the outside. She was generally a Gentile. She was a prostitute. And her mouth is smoother than oil, but her end is bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death. Her steps take hold on Sheol. Lest thou ponder the path of life, her ways are movable that thou canst not know them. That was a famous, or probably I should say infamous, gangster in the penitentiary in Atlanta. One of the officers there told me this story about him, that this man had contracted syphilis, and if it's not taken care of, it'll go to the brain, cause paresis, and actually leads to insanity. He said that this man had become, before he died, a blubbering idiot. Then he made this comment to me. He said, you know, he says he was responsible for the ruin of many a girl. He says, you know, it's interesting. They don't get by with it. Some girl along the route got even with him. And the warning here is against that type of thing, you see. Her feet go down to death. Steps take hold on Sheol. Lest thou ponder the path of life, her ways are movable, thou canst not know them. What a warning is given here to this young man. And he says, hear me now, therefore, O ye sons, and depart not from the sayings of my mouth. Remove thy way far from her, and come not nigh the entrance of her house, lest thou give thine honor unto others, and thy years unto the cruel ones, lest strangers be filled with thy wealth, and thy labors be in the house of a stranger. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh, thy body are consumed. What a picture of a venereal disease. And that's an epidemic condition here in Southern California. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof. Have not hearkened to the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. God says he's not mocked. What you sow, you're going to reap. God says this is the thing that'll come to pass. Our society is reaping what has been sown. And today, the gross immorality goes back to the lack of instruction in the Word of God. I sound like a square, don't I? Well, that's what I am. Now he tells about the relationship that should exist between the husband and the wife. And here you see marriage brought to a very high plane. And notice the way that it's spoken of here in a very wonderful way. It says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine own, and not strangers with thee. In other words, your offspring should be offspring that your wife, the wife of your bosom, is the mother of. He says, now let thy fountain be blessed, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. Now, the Word of God makes it very clear that physical love and sexual love is to be sanctified and brought to a very high level. There was a time when these things were taboo. They were not mentioned, and they were thought of as being maybe something that was immoral, even among married folk. It's a sort of a dirty thing. Do you notice here God lifts it to the very highest plane? Why? Because marriage is something God's given to the human family for the welfare and weal of mankind. It's something they're trying to get rid of today, of course. Now, for the child of God, for the Christian home, that should be a picture of the relationship between Christ and the church. And you can't have it any higher or holier than that. And God has said some very interesting things in this connection. And right now, when you hear of so many that break over here, this is something that's alarming in some churches, and it ought to cause the church to get down on its knees before God and find out what's wrong on the inside. When again and again, this man runs off with another woman, and it happens not once and twice, but it probably is happening many times that folk don't know anything about. Well, there's something radically wrong there. The Word of God is not getting through and not influencing and swaying the lives of those that are there. Listen to what the writer to the Hebrews said in 13:4. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. God said this is a wonderful relationship. It's not something to be treated as if it's not a clean thing. Why, it's high and it's holy. But notice the other side of the picture. But fornicators and adulterers, God will judge. A man came in to me years ago. I was pastor of a church, and I'm not giving any details here because I don't want him identified, or them for that matter. And he announced to me that he was leaving his wife, a very wonderful wife and wonderful son, and he was going to run off with another woman. And they're all church members, let's say. But whether Christian or not, I'm not raising that. And he told me what he was going to do. Well, you can imagine what that young preacher at that time said, and I really laid it on the line to him. And he rose in indignation, and he said, are you trying to rob me of my salvation? I said, brother, if you've got salvation, I'm not going to try to rob you of it. But I do want to say this to you, and I want you to remember it. If you are not God's child, then you're acting according to the way the devil's children act. But if you happen to be a child of God, I want to say this to you. One of these days, God's going to take you to the woodshed, and he'll whip you in an inch of your life. And I'm not sure but what he'll take your life. And this fellow sneered. May I say to you, maybe I'm in the position of saying I told you so. But be that as ugly as it might be, I have to say this. The years have gone by since then, many years. And those two are the loneliest, saddest, most frustrated, unlovely today. Oh, how I'm confident both of them would like to say, I could only go back and do it all over again. Or will you notice? Peter goes on and says, he says that husband and wife are to dwell together according to knowledge. And notice this tremendous, that their prayers be not hindered. And that's in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter. Read those first few verses. I'll not turn to them, but how tremendous they are. Let me tell you, this is a real test. When a husband and wife are so living before each other that they have joy and confidence and can kneel together and pray together and love together, and that home represents the relationship of Christ and the church, I want to tell you, my friend, that that is something God can and will bless. Oh, how important this is. Now, will you notice verse 21 here in this 5th chapter? For the ways of man are before the eyes of Jehovah, and he pondereth all his goings. Now, that is an interesting verse. The ways of man are before the eyes of the Lord. You have to recognize that God is seeing you all the time. He's watching you all the time. A man was put in a foursome with three of us that were Christians. He didn't know that we were three preachers, and he was glad to get away from us when he found out who we were. But he ripped out an oath, and when he found out that he was with preachers, he began to apologize. He said, oh, I'm sorry for what I said, and all that sort of thing. Well, I'll tell you, I said to him, I said, brother, oh, don't pay attention to us. We're just three men like you are. But you are speaking that way before God all the time. And I don't care whether you're in a bar room or wherever you are. You're saying that before God. The ways of man are before the eyes of Jehovah. And God pondereth. God is wondering why you act and say what you do. I think that's the only time that God really gets puzzled, is the way that some act today. Now, we have here a tremendous picture. I heard a man preaching years ago. He said, I'm a dying man talking to dying men. That's what we are. I'm a sinner saved by grace, speaking to sinners that if they're not saved by grace, they can be saved by the grace of God. Now notice as he moves on here, he says here that his own iniquities shall take the wicked himself, and he shall be holden with the cords of his sins. He shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. God says that there is a day coming, a day of accountability, a day of retribution, a payday is coming someday. And that day is on the way, my friend. You think you're getting by with it, you're not getting by with it at all.